Welcome to Encore. Thanks for joining us today here on 88.7 KRVS. I'm your host, Megan Brown, and we're going to start it off with some swamp pop because we have a special guest in the studio today, Miss Jennifer Ritter Guidry, and she's going to be talking to us a little bit about the Southern Club in Opelousas. So before we talk about it, we're going to listen to a little bit more swamp pop. We're going to start it off with Rod Bernard's most famous song, his hit, This Should Go On Forever.
This should go on forever. This should go on forever. Let me stay in your arms, just to gaze into your eyes, dear, and to capture all your charm. Live and say.
as you walk down the aisle, graduation night. Will you remember to smile while I cry? Think of me, there I'll be.
Oh, we're back, and that was Lil Bob and the Lollipops with Your Pouring Water. And just before that, we had TK Hulant with Graduation Night. And we're here with Miss Jennifer Ritter-Guidry, and we're here to talk about the Southern Club in Opelousas. And can you tell us what's going on right now, Jennifer, with that?
Well, the Southern Club's been closed for close to 20 years, but in its heyday, it was where you went in that area to listen to music, to dance. And from what I understand, anybody, you know, you could go in even if you weren't 18. You could have a good time. It was a good, clean, fun place to go. There wasn't a lot of trouble. You could listen to music. You could socialize. You could perhaps meet your future spouse there. And you could just have a really good time. And it has a lot of really wonderful memories for people in the area. And so in the course of the field work that my coworker, John Pudge Sharp, and I have been doing over in the Center for Louisiana Studies for his documentary on dance halls, we met with one of the longtime employees of the Southern Club. And he asked us what we could do to help save the building, which is in a really sad, serious state of disrepair right now. And he said he would just really like to see the building saved and to see the Southern Club come back into its former glory.
Yeah.
And so he asked if I knew how to write grants. And I said, well, you know, I've written a couple grants. And and that led to a larger conversation about what could we possibly do. So now we're exploring the process of applying for the National Register for Historic Places status for the Southern Club. And it's a really exciting, very new venture for us at the Center for Louisiana Studies. And I think it's going to be a really interesting and insightful process.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be cool. Do they want to try and get a lot of swamp pop back into it, or they don't care what kind of music is played in it?
Well, this past Wednesday we had a meeting in Opelousas at Toby's Lounge in we had a wonderful group of people. Over 100 people showed up to talk to us and hear what we had to say about what we were trying to do, and we asked them what they wanted to see happen with the Southern Club, and the overwhelming response was that they really wanted to see it opened up again as a dance hall, mm-hmm. where they could go and listen to music and dance and have a good time and really bring the Southern Club back into its once and former glory, and to honor the memory also of its owner, Chick, Lionel Chick Vidrine, mm-hmm. Who passed away, but was apparently just a very giving, wonderful benefactor to the community. He would hire people. He would pay people to come and work in his club. Even though he already had enough people working there, he would pay students to come and work there. Knowing that he didn't need the extra staff, but he knew that they needed money and he could help them out.
Yeah.
So he was just a very giving person, and this is a way for the community to honor his memory and kind of keep the Southern Club alive.
Yeah. That's awesome. I hadn't heard of the Southern Club before you talked about it earlier today. So that's really awesome. I'm sad I missed the meeting. Was it mostly people from Opelousas, from the community that went out, or...
Yes, it was. It was a lot of people from the Opelousas area, a lot of musicians who had played at the Southern Club, people who Chick Vidrine was one of 9 children. Mm-hmm. His wife was one of 10. So between the two of them, they had 3 children together. And between their 2 families, they had nieces and nephews in abundance, mm-hmm. who all grew up in the Southern Club. So it's really interesting. The story of the Southern Club is so multi-generational, mm-hmm. and it covers so many different genres of music that went through the club. I mean, not only swamp pop, but rock and roll and a little bit of French music and just all sorts of really great, wonderful stories about and really community-based socializing before there was television, before there was Facebook, before there were cell phones and all these things. You know, there was the Southern Club, mm-hmm. and it was a hub for people to come and hang out and visit and learn, you know, meet people.
Build a community, yeah.
It's just really wonderful. So if we can bring the Southern Club back into an operational status and get music back out there. I think that it would be a really wonderful thing for the community.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking to Jennifer Ritter-Guidry about the Southern Club in Opelousas. And we're going to get back to some more swamp pop. We're going to listen to Jennifer's request, Willie T. and John Smith with Opelousas Sostan.
Kidnapper, back to me. If never you got me in misery, I'm not a
oh.
Dale and Grace with I'm Leaving It Up to You. And just before that was Wayne Toups with I'm Not a Fool Anymore. And today in the studio, if you're just joining us here for Encore, we have Jennifer Ritter-Guidry, and we're talking about the Southern Club out in Opelousas and how they're trying to restore its existence. Jennifer, how can the community get involved with this project?
Well, the community is the most important part of this project because they're the people that will support the club in the future and who have supported the club in the past. Mm-hmm. And so we're really looking to the local community in the Opelousas area for guidance on what they want to see happen with the Southern Club in the building, and to help us prepare the application and to go through the process. We need an architect to help us look at the building and assess its current state and what needs to be done with it, as well as engineers, roofers, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, all those people that can really help bring the Southern Club back into a fully functional dance hall. And like the song said, we're leaving it up to you. We need the community in Opelousas and the surrounding areas to really tell us what they want to see happen with the Southern Club. Mm-hmm. And so we're here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. We're up on the third floor of Dupre Library. You can call us at 337-482-1320. You can email us at cceet@louisiana.edu. That's our general email list, our email address for things. And that those messages will be sent directly to us, and we will take all of your suggestions and your offers for assistance into consideration when we're preparing the application for the State Preservation Office, which is the first step in the National Register of Historic Places application process. We have to go first through the state process and have them review our application, and then from there they'll approve it and then help us prepare it for federal consideration. And then once we the Southern Club is designated as a National Register property, then we can start the process of applying for grants to actually restore the building and things like that. So it's really up to the community to help us get to those all of those steps. Mm-hmm. And to help us understand what exactly the Southern Club means to them individually and to the community as a whole, and to also, and most importantly, what they want to see the Southern Club to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. So I know y'all had y'all's first meeting last week, but is there, are y'all going to have more meetings, and how can people find out when those meetings are?
Right now, we did have that first meeting, and we're compiling the information that we gathered from mm-hmm. that meeting. We're creating an email list, and we will be in touch with the supporters of this initiative through that email list, as well as through the local media. I mean, there have been several people, including Herman Fuselier, who's a host of another radio show here at KRVS, who's been very helpful with this, we're just trying to get the word out about it. We'll set up a Facebook page. We'll either have a page on our website or a link to a standalone website for the Southern Club and its revival set up in the next few weeks. So there's a lot of ways. Hopefully you'll be able to get online very soon and find lots of information about what we're working on. Mm-hmm. And then you can sign up for that email list and then look in your local media outlets for further information.
Yeah. So just keep your ears peeled, eyes peeled.
Right. I mean, we're a small office, and in reality, there are two people that are working on this project amongst other projects. And so we really do need the community support and involvement and input in making this project move forward as rapid a pace as some people would like to see it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll be back with some more information on the Southern Club. We're going to get back to some music, and we're going to listen to song that Johnny Allen recorded a while back that Clifton Chenier wrote, You Used to Call Me.
To tell me how you'd love to hold me tight. Lately, I don't hear your sweet voice on the phone. I'm sitting here wondering just what went wrong. 'Cause I don't know. I don't know. If you with my tutu. Now she look good in her bikini suit.
A man can dream 'cause she's fine. Oh, she's my all, she's special. She's my heart, she's mine. I'm the accordion man from the Bayou Lane. Started the toot-toot train. Now I'm the toot-toot man. Now don't you mess with my toot-toot. Don't mess with my toot-toot. Now you can sing my song, but don't mess with my toot-toot. Hey, Bob.
Baby, to the shores of Waikiki, or take a cruise to Cancun, just like they do on the TV. But I ain't got that kind of money, and neither does she. And so we spend a cheap Cajun weekend at a place called Holiday Beach. Along the waterline that you can see them offshore wells. Men are too far out, the sand turns to mud and shells. They ain't got no boat, just got seaweed. But we always pass a real good time at Holly Beach.
Got no boardwalk.
The smell of shrimp in the air.
Ain't got no boardwalk.
They got supplies everywhere.
Ain't got no boardwalk.
You got to bring your own chair.
Ain't got no boardwalk.
Michelle, what do we care?
Ain't got no boardwalk. Boardwalk.
You walk along the beach. You feel the seaweed between your toes. Man, that's all.
when the stomach is hot.
Ain't got no boardwalk.
Babe, that's our favorite spot.
Ain't got no boardwalk.
Whether we like it or not.
Ain't got no boardwalk.
Mais yeah, that's all we got.
Ain't got no boardwalk. Boardwalk.
Hey, Gaston. What you doing here?
I won first place in that Holly Beach contest. 1 week all expense paid. Now, what you doing here besides picking up cans, huh?
Hey, I won second place, see. I gotta stay here 2 weeks.
Mais chapi, Jay.
That was Kenny Tibbs with the Holly Beach, the Under the Boardwalk, the Holly Beach edition. And just before that was Rockin' Sydney with Matutut. And if you're just joining us for Encore, we have Jennifer Ritter Guidry in the studio today. She's my guest talking about the Southern Club in Opelousas. And they found out, she and Pud, John Sharp, found out about the Southern Club through this dance hall documentary that Pud is working on right now, that they're all working on together. How's that project going, Jennifer?
The project's going really well. John's database that he's created for the dance halls list of it numbers over 400 dance halls currently. It's very wide ranging. It's restricted to dance halls in Louisiana. Predominantly South Louisiana dance halls, mostly from the Acadiana area. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. The meeting we had earlier this week led him to discover dance halls that weren't on his list already and has really opened the doors to finding out more about some of those dance halls and further information about dance halls that we knew a little bit about, but we weren't sure where exactly they were located, or things like that. But the Dance Halls documentary is progressing really well, and we've been able to really expand upon that research through the kinds of meetings that we had earlier this week, mm-hmm. as well as just talking with individual dance hall owners and employees and musicians. I mean, it's really fascinating. We're going to listen to some Fats Domino cuts a little bit later, but what we've heard from more than one dance hall employee is that he was just like the consummate performer. He would get on stage and he was immaculately dressed and he would start playing and he wouldn't stop. He didn't take a break. He would play until he was drenched in sweat and had run out of songs to play. And it was like a 4 or 5 hour set before he was done. And that made a real impression on everybody. I mean, he was just such a professional musician, and he was so dedicated to the music and to, you know, sharing that music with the community and the audience and everything like that. It's one of the great compelling stories that we've discovered in the course of our research.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, like talking to my grandmother, there was a little club right down the road from where she lives today called the Four Corners Club in Iota, or Timamu, rather, right outside Iota. And it's leveled now. Garber Farms is where it used to be. But something she was saying that you said earlier is that they had, like, it wasn't called a teen night per se, but you could go to the bar under 18 years of age, and they would still be selling alcohol, and there'd be, like, the people of age at the bar drinking and,
right.
But nothing ever got out of hand, she said. And a lot of young people would go, I think it was a Tuesday night, she said. And that's just really cool that those environments existed.
Well, back in that time, you know, period, people knew, you all knew one another.
Mm, yeah.
So, I mean, even if you were a teenager going out, you knew that you were going to run into your mom and dad's friends and your aunts and your uncles and whatever. So even though you got to go out and you got to listen to music and you got to dance and you got to socialize, you couldn't really break all of the rules because there were so many eyes on you. And it's such a wonderful thing when we think about it now, you know. We can't really monitor our children the same way they were monitored back then, you know, with the internet and social media and things like that. We're such a virtual community. People like to toss that term around.
Yeah.
But it's really true. Back, you know, even 10, 20 years ago, it was so much easier to keep an eye on your kids or trust that other people were keeping an eye on your children, mm-hmm. Even when they were teenagers. There were bars even. We talked to someone else who told us that her first school dance was at a... She was from New Iberia, but her first school dance was at a bar in Bro Bridge. And her dad was so mad because that was his haunt. That was where he went and hung out. But she was there for her dance, and he did not like that the two were commingling.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these venues served so many purposes, more than one or two purposes. They were community gatherings for all ages, mm-hmm. and really focal points for, you know, the extended family and then your further extended, not blood related family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. I hope we can... Hope they can work something out to get this Southern Club back and running on its feet.
Yeah, it's a lengthy process. It doesn't happen overnight. We've tried to remind the community at the meeting, and we want to reiterate that it's not an overnight process. It is. Yeah. It takes a while. It's you know, it has to go through several processes. You know, at the state, at local, state, and federal levels. But as long as the community is invested in it. I think it'll work out, and I think that we can perhaps repeat this in other communities, mm-hmm. where there were other dance halls that serve the same purpose that the Southern Club serves for the Opelousas area.
Yeah. All right. We have about 10 minutes left. We're going to listen to one of the Fats Domino songs that you picked out since we talked about them a little bit. We're going to listen to Fat Man, and then we'll come back and get a little bit more information about how you can get in touch with Jennifer and CSET and help this project get started.
And keep it moving.
And keep it moving, yeah. All right, here's Fat Man by Fats Domino.
Thank you. come to me and you ask me to dance. As I held you close to me, my heart began to melt. The words you said to me were exactly how I felt. To feel you next to me in my home that night.
That was Ryan Foray and the Foray Tradition. It Wasn't Supposed to Happen. It's the name of the song. And just before that was Fats Domino with Fat Man. And we are closing this edition of Encore out. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been fun.
It has been. And it was a bit of a surprise to have you, but I'm so glad that you that I saw you and that you wanted to come. So before we go, why don't we talk a little bit more about how people can get involved with this process, with helping the Southern Club get back on its feet. Let's reiterate where they can find you and how they can get involved and who you need exactly.
Sure. My name is Jennifer Ritter Guidry, and I'm the Assistant Director for the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism, which is a subdivision of the Center for Louisiana Studies here at UL. My coworker, John Pud Sharp, is the Assistant Director for Research at the Center for Louisiana Studies, and together we are working on the fieldwork portion of his Dance Halls project, which will culminate in a documentary on dance halls of South Louisiana. We would love to hear more about your memories and stories of dance halls throughout South Louisiana and including the Southern Club, as well as, recruit you for the project with the Southern Club. We are on the third floor of Dupre Library here at UL Lafayette, and we love visitors. You can also call us at 337-482-1320, or you can email us at our general email address, cceet@louisiana.edu. And we look forward to working with you guys and hearing your stories and finding out more about the Southern Club as well as other dance halls throughout the South Louisiana area.
Awesome. Thank you, Jennifer, so much for coming again today. Thanks, listeners, whether you be online or listening to your radio around Acadiana. Thanks for joining us for Encore here on KRVS 88.7. Don't forget, if you would like to get a podcast or a playlist of any of our locally produced shows, you can find one at krvs.org. If you appreciate what we do here at KRVS, please give us some support. You can always do that. Our fundraiser is over, of course, but you can always donate if you choose. We really appreciate your listening and your help. We're going to go out with Lil Bob and the Lollipops, something called I Got Loaded. I'll see you all next week. Have a great rest of the weekend.